welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is June 15th, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm recording on Wednesday this week, so it's a day early. It's not June 16th, because I'm leaving early tomorrow morning for Idaho. There's a hard rain falling tonight here in Tennessee. It's very dark. So if you hear some big booms in the background, it's thunder and lightning. The next world war has not started. Events. I'm heading to Switzerland and Lake Constance in southern Germany in the second half of July with a one-day trip to Amsterdam just for some meetings. If anyone wants to have lunch in Zurich while I'm there on the week of July 25th, let me know. Our theme tonight is can we stop ... you name it. I'm hearing too many people say, well, there's nothing we can do in response to false flags, vaccines. That's not true. There are many things we can do. The first we have to do is see them for what they are and then bring momentum to transparency. The more people, you reach a critical mass, 10%, even less of the population who sees the game, then you can really start to reverse the game because, remember, it depends on the lies working. And when the lies stop working, that's what happens. There's enormous incentive to get the lies to stop working. Let me explain why. In my recent post, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who is the Fairest of Them All? It's up on Salieri.com. Let me just quote a paragraph. Quote, unfortunately, G7 governments did not bring enforcement to bear after the financial coup d'etat. Instead, they simply asked for their cut of the profits to fund more government regulations on the innocent. With insufficient transparency, including the circumstances described by Edward Snowden, the market has also not enforced. So what we are left with is a general population that has lost faith in the establishment, in the government, and the financial system, and a robber baron class dependent on ever greater amounts of dirty money and force. Now, the problem is you have a negative return on investment economy. You are behaving as a total group in a way that shrinks the pie. And the more the pie shrinks, the more desperate everybody gets. And the people who can use violence and dirty games to extract more money for themselves, to protect themselves in this circumstance, do so. It just lowers the productivity and shrinks the pie. You get into a deflationary spiral. To a certain extent, that's what we're in, prevented by massive amounts of government debt and central bank monetary debasement. So this is where the false flags come in. If we don't reverse the game, they're just going to keep coming in for greater and greater extractions. So you gotta spiral it the other way, and that's why you have to bring transparency to these tactics. So I'm constantly asked the question all week long, is what happened in Orlando? I would say there's a 99% chance it was a false flag or a staged event. That's the big question. Were there multiple shooters and an op where real people were killed, or was it staged? We don't know. The alleged shooter worked for a British securities firm, G4S, who bought Wackenhut, very famous U.S. security firm and private prison company. So this was a British firm, largest security firm in the world. So this was somebody who was cleared by G47 to work for them and to carry a gun. FYI, G47's headquarters, Wackenhut's old headquarters, is in Jupiter, Florida, 25 minutes from the Trump Palm Beach estate. So we're talking about a lot of players close together here. Possible goals, marketing more centralized control, including gun control. Notice that the response wrapped around the official story as opposed to the real story. So there's no effort to really ascertain the facts or produce evidence. There's also no discussion of the big headline in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. U.S. military had killed allies in Syria with friendly fire. Now, instead, with the Orlando shooting, U.S. can claim instead to be a victim of Islam once again. And obviously, there are numerous financial market possibilities, particularly coming into Brexit. It gives a lot of players an ability, if they're now expecting Brexit to vote leave, to move a lot of money in significant ways without necessarily being noticed. Most important are the Gallup polls that I've talked about before, but you see why terror works. Concern for the economy is much higher than concern for terrorism until the San Bernardino shooting, and then suddenly concern for terrorism shoots above the economy, then it dropped back again. Now, why is this important? Because if you look at the deterioration of general support for the executive branch, for Congress, and for our faith in sort of major institutions, it's really at near an all-time low. And when that happens, the general population decides there's no need to support government. We're better off without them. Why should we pay our taxes? Why should we follow regulations? And you start to have people pull away from the system. Suddenly, what polls show is when terror is a chief concern of the population, they want government, they need government, they approve money for security, more securities, they approve more money for IT surveillance done by the big defense contractors. And so reality, though, is the opposite. If you look at what's going on, we're much better off with less money for security, less money for centralizing IT, less money for private armies, less money for gun control. Rather, we should reduce the number of government agencies that can carry weapons and make arrests or apply civil money penalties. The reality is the more we fund private mercenaries and big military companies through defense contracts, the more we get false flags. And if you notice, the headlines after this one was the problem was homegrown terrorist. We need more money for surveillance and intelligence. We need more money. That means for Lockheed Martin, DynCorp. If you haven't read my stuff on DynCorp, there's plenty about it. G4S, large, essentially professional corporate mercenary armies, or the companies whose IT supports private corporate mercenary armies. So the last thing we need to do is to push for more of our tax dollars financing more power and more control. I always tell the story when I was at HUD about how I used to ask Lockheed for data and they would refuse to give it to me. So, you know, basically I, as Assistant Secretary of Housing, couldn't get basic data on my own operation. Of course, we see more push for gun control, particularly from the Democrats. No one was caring because in Florida, it's specifically outlawed to carry a concealed weapon in a place that serves alcoholic beverages. You notice that this false flag took place in a place where people couldn't carry. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't. There was a security guard outside, but that was the only one. Orlando was a huge Lockheed installation right next to Disney. A Lockheed executive once complained to me that they created the technology and then had to give it to Disney. They created it for military training. Some people say they created it for mind control operations. Then they gave it to Disney, and Disney got all the credit because, of course, nobody on the covert side wants it. Everybody attributing all those fabulous cartoons to Lockheed. Anyway, so you've got Lockheed and you've got Disney right there. It's interesting, if everybody started looking and researching all the corporate headquarters and installations where false flags happened and started trying to connect the possible dots, I assure you, large corporations would work hard to make sure false flags don't happen in their area. Maybe that's a good first step. Alexander said, quote, a well-regulated militia, quote, would help safeguard the freedom of the new republic because it would make the creation of a professional mercenary army unnecessary. And we're headed in the opposite direction. The more we fund private professional mercenary armies, the more we get these kinds of false flags. There's a connection. Don't be surprised if it's a direct connection. So we have a lot of negative return on investment economy players. They're desperate for their next fix. The more we give them, the more productivity will be harmed. It's an enormous and growing tax on society. So Orlando is not good news. And in fact, there's a lot we can do about it if we turn around our response to it and bring transparency and help help everybody else do it. Richard Dolan's writing a great book on false flags. It should be ready by January as soon as it's out. You know, buy 10, take one, and give 9 of your best friends that book. Everybody needs to read it. Money and markets. On Tuesday, the yields on 10-year German bonds went negative on Brexit fears, as the polls show that the Leave voters are moving significantly ahead of Stay votes. That's by about 7%, it looks like. The vote will be on June 23rd to decide if the UK leaves the EU. Remember, the UK continued to keep the pound, never came into the euro, but there are real questions as to the pressure this will put on the EU, other countries wanting to make special deals, and it'll just make it harder to stay together. Fed announcement this afternoon, no increase in interest rates, as was expected. Brexit was clearly a factor. concern about China and what would happen to the yuan if the dollar got stronger. It was a issue. And then, of course, the employment figures. The indication from the governors is that they plan to do one interest rate within 2016, dollar down a little bit on the news. The Bilderberger meeting was in Dresden late last week. The Bilderberger chairman, oddly enough, came out and warned that there's an extremely high possibility of Brexit, which surprised me. So you wonder what's going on behind the scenes. As I said, push for gun control, very significant, particularly coming from the Democrats in the House and Senate. How much is it related to Orlando shooting? Very little. I think the Orlando shooting is related to the marketing campaign to get gun control. If you're looking at the leadership staring at the cash flows, they know they want to cut Social Security. They want to pass Trans-Pacific Partnership. They need to address the pension problems, and they want to radically re-engineer state and local government and privatize more local things, including schools. Guns are standing in the way of harvesting and re-engineering the local economies. If it happens, if they bring the guns in and then are free to do what they want, be prepared to watch some devastating and astonishing things happen to the economy, including the privatization of many, many things. So let's look at the market. The U.S. dollar index down had been going up, and now on the Fed news, down a tad, down 4% now for the year. The bond aggregate up 4%. TLT, whew, now up 13.32%. That's the long treasury ETF. The intermediate treasury ETF up 6.51%. And junk ETF, can you imagine? Why would anybody be in a junk bond right now? Up 5.89%. The S&P backed off a little bit. It's up 2.57% for the year. So bonds clearly outperforming. Home builders, not a good sign, down 3.48. Interestingly enough, Fitch rated the first subprime mortgage securitization since the bailout, so they're back. U.S. real estate has done very well, up 6%. Europe now down 6.26%. That's a 3+% drop from last week. So Europe really down on the concerns about Brexit. Germany down 6.6%. The developed markets away from North America down 5.62%. So basically, U.S. holding, everything else turning down. China large caps down 6.52%. India flat, up 0.68%. Oil has come down a bit. It's up 1.93% for the year. Gold still doing strong, up 21%. And Brexit fear should help it. Silver up 25.4%. And the commodities index up 8.78%. So that's a relatively nice improvement for commodities. Headline in the British papers, business goes into lockdown as profound political change looms. I want to read you just a section of this very interesting piece. As if to underscore all these uncertainties, the chief executive of Royal Dutch Shell, now Britain's largest company by far after its recent merger with BG Group, has announced a series of measures for living with what he calls, quote, a lower forever environment, quote, that is virtually permanently low inflation, low demand, and low interest rates. In an effort to sustain the dividend and revive the share price, he's further slashing costs and investment. Investors had better hope he succeeds. Shell plans to pay dividends of around 10 billion pounds this year, or an astonishing £1 for every 7.5 pounds in total dividends paid in the UK, according to estimates by Capita Asset Services. This marks an alarming degree of income dependence on just a single management team operating in what green campaigners view as an industry heading for terminal decline. They could be right. Shell is reducing investment by a further third, which is not exactly a vote of confidence in the future. Nor is Shell alone. Globally, oil and gas investment has been slashed by $600 billion in the last 18 months alone, with no let-up in sight. Across the extractive industries as a whole, which historically account for a very high portion of all capital spending by business, the damage is more extreme still. This is a perfect example of what happens, the economic disadvantage of extraordinary centralization and managed markets. But Actually, the shell management is quite good, but if I was a management team, I would hate to have 1/8 of all the dividend responsibility in the UK. That's a heavy burden to carry, particularly for the UK pension funds. Speaking of unhealthy centralization, Microsoft has announced the purchase of LinkedIn. My immediate response was to go to LinkedIn and delete my account. And I would suggest everyone else do the same. I don't think you want your information being sucked up and tracked by Microsoft. If everyone did it, would it bust the sale? I bet it would. But, be my guest. An interesting headline in the Wall Street Journal this year: talent war rages in car industry. If you look at the re-engineering of what a car is and how it works and who drives it, it's an unbelievably dynamic time. And you've got unbelievable companies with amazing engineering skills and ability going at this ferociously. And so, not surprisingly, you get a talent war. It's interesting, if you look at unfilled positions, the number of unfilled positions in the U.S. is rising. And that's because you have a split in skill. If you look at what an auto company needs to win the re-engineering of the car race, it's very different skills than what a lot of people have. And so what we're seeing is a real lack of alignment between curriculums and experience and what we need now to deal with new technology and to generate income. So please make sure that you and your loved ones are re-engineering that alignment. Don't wait for the schools to do it. The schools are going to be the last to know. You're going to have to take responsibility of your lifelong learning or your kids' or grandkids' education. Federal appeals court has upheld net neutrality rules. That's good news for Netflix and Google, bad news for TV and cable. I'm always happy when TV and cable get bad news. Consumer spending is reported as up. I don't believe it. I think you're seeing inflation in food, in healthcare, and gas expenses. Multiple reports from around the country keep reverberating back and saying we were right, that Obamacare has essentially wiped out a great portion of discretionary income, and so the slow burn continues. I did two reviews that are up on the website this week. One, Sally Denton's new book, The Profiteers, Bechtel and the Men Who Build the World, by Sally Denton, as I said. And Bechtel is an extremely important part of the deep state, and I have a lot of subscribers who live in the San Francisco Bay Area, arguably the most powerful corporation in the San Francisco Bay Area. This is a really well-done book, and if you're interested in both the deep state or the San Francisco Bay Area, I strongly recommend it to you. We'll have Sally on the Saleri Report in August, so she'll be coming on to talk about the book. And then Dr. Dadi Sherry, We Have Dared to Be Free. Dr. Sherry was a biological scientist professor, and then having been raised, born and raised in Haiti, she started to keep a diary when the earthquake hit in 2010, and then proceeded to keep track of everything and the outrageous things going on. It's an excellent description of disaster capitalism. Haiti is one of, if not the worst, examples of disaster capitalism by the U.S. and the Clintons. And although she's very measured and coherent in her description, if you read very precisely what the Clintons have been up to in Haiti, it will turn your stomach. And it's always amazing to me that they enjoy support within the African American community after what they've done. Our hero this week are the Mothers of Vaxxed. Vaxxed is a new documentary on the CDC whistleblower who warned the industry that the CDC has been suppressing and destroying documentation of the connection between the MMR vaccine and autism. And it's got remarkable footage and information about autism. I have not seen it. In the interview to that's publishing today with Dr. Laura Thompson, she and her husband John Rappaport had just seen it. She describes the movie, gives a little review of it. Sounds extraordinary. I've had other clients and subscribers report the same. And it's not available to stream online, or you can't buy the DVD yet. It's still screening around the country. I have, however, made an effort to watch a couple of hours of recordings, video recordings of the producers and the mothers and some of the other experts in the movie giving panels and Q&A talks after the screenings, and they are extraordinary. I knew it was bad from both personal experience and watching other great documentaries on the topic, but this brings it home in an extraordinary way, and the testimony of the mothers is extraordinary. One of them describes that the average cost of a household of a severely autistic child is $5 million. I can believe that. The emotional and psychic and other damage done to the family and the specific members of the family, from the parents to the siblings, is more than $5 million, I assure you. People say, that what can they do? They have to get vaccines so their kids can go to school. You're going to have to figure out how to homeschool or get together and organize with other people to create alternatives. The cost to all members of a household of homeschooling is much less than the cost of one severely autistic child. And if you look at the statistics, they're saying if the heavy schedules of vaccines continue, one out of every two children is going to be on the autistic spectrum. So if you have four kids and two are one slightly autistic and one severely autistic, figure, that's going to cost you $7 million. I dare say homeschooling or finding alternatives are cheaper. I also put up, it will be up by tomorrow night, a video, or by the end of the week, a video of Jane Robbins talking about Common Core data. And if the vaccines don't scare you to death, the data issues and the educational issues will. Farrell has a great book coming out in August on Common Core, and it's really a must read. I wrote the foreword, and it's my strongest statement yet on Common Core. Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. This is not a question. It's in relation to your discussion with the Saker. I thought you might find the following link interesting. Perhaps it helps us understand why the neocons hate Russia. And then they sent a link by George Friedman of Stratfor about creating a middle zone between Asia and Europe so that America can stay dominant on the Silk Road. I'm a Stratfor subscriber. I find Friedman books and speeches very useful to helping understand U.S. thinking on a wide variety of topics. And he and his people have very good insight on the role of geography, which is something I'm amazed at. There's not a common understanding of the role of geography in global economics and geopolitics. And I think Stratfor does a good job of describing that. So thank you for that link, and thank all the subscribers for the great links you've been sending. Dear Catherine, a friend of mine in the UK is concerned about the upcoming Brexit vote. He believes that the only way the powers that be would clear the path for the Brits to leave the European Union is because they must have something much more sinister and controlling in mind. What's your opinion on this? I have no idea. Anything is possible. The only way to know is to see what emerges, because in a learning system, the powers that be can guide the system to go where they want, but that doesn't mean there aren't hiccups and jerks along the way. So is this a hiccup or jerk, or is this what they want? One thing that could happen is a group has decided they want to reconfigure into a Northern European group with basically Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, UK, who knows? I think we just have to wait and see. If you look at the pronouncements from a lot of leadership, there's surprising support in a variety of the establishment for a leave. So we'll have to see what happens. Dear Catherine, you mentioned that every child with autism represents a $5 million cost to their family and society through the child's lifetime. As morbid as this may sound, this means that for every additional child who gets autism because of pharmaceutical vaccines, the pharmaceutical industry now reaps tons of additional money off of many drugs administered to that child during their lifetime because of having induced that autism. I don't know the figures. I'm assuming unless the parents really detox the child. So if you detox the child, I think there's a way in many, many cases of not having to need any more pharmaceuticals. However, presumably if a lot of these kids do spend the rest of their lives taking a lot of drugs, yes, in theory, there would be more money for the pharmaceuticals. However, I don't think that's the goal here. I think the strategic goal is decided at a far higher level than the corporate level, and the goals are far greater than just making money, so I'll talk about that momentarily. And let's go to the movies. I had, because Vax is not available, I had Trace Amounts, which is a documentary that was recommended by Robert De Niro in one of his interviews on Vax that was, we had the little video up on the website. I'm a very high opinion of Robert De Niro. So if he says, if he recommends a documentary, I'll watch it. And it's on, it's by an Oregon engineer. It's on the topic of mercury and poisoning. And that includes thimerosal, which is a preservative sometimes used in some vaccines. I strongly recommend Trace Amounts to everyone. The dangers of heavy metal toxicity, whether it's from vaccines that have heavy metals in it or preservatives that have heavy metals in it, or from chemtrails, or as the engineer describes in Trace Amounts, light breaking. The sources are many, but it's extremely important that we avoid that kind of toxicity, or if we get it, that we make an effort to detox. And we've got some great Solari report. Got a great Solari report with Dr. Thompson on detoxing, and I strongly recommend it to you as well. Okay, so let's turn to our interview. I have a small Solari circle that meets once a week by telephone, and we decided as a group that we were concerned about the risks of autism as it related to what the CDC whistleblower had said and the heavy schedules of vaccines. And so we decided that we would sweep all the different information available on the epidemic of autism and the relationship to vaccines. So we proceeded to look at everything, and you'll see on the website there's a document I put up. It was a collection of all the different documentaries and books and articles that we found and had suggested to us by our network. So it was basically a body of information that came highly recommended that we reviewed. And I have had enough experience with this material to know that autism is rising, that it's an epidemic, but I had no idea it was as bad as it was, and no idea specifically that African-American males have a much multiples greater chance of getting autism from a heavy schedule of vaccines and the MMR vaccine than white boys. The statistics are that boys are many times more likely to get it than girls, and African-American boys many times more likely to get it than white boys or Caucasian boys. And the CDC specifically suppressed this, and this is part of what Dr. William Thompson, the CDC whistleblower, goes into, and that's what inspired the Vaxxed documentary. Anyway, so we reviewed this material, and one of the questions that came up was, if you can't persuade your loved ones to avoid the heavy schedules of vaccines, how can you help them if they're damaged by a toxic vaccine? What can you do? So I asked Dr. Thompson to come back on and basically walk through with us what we could do if we or a loved one basically had a toxic reaction to a toxic vaccine. I think what is important to me about what I've learned by watching the Vax Q&As and by watching Trace Amounts and sort of dipping down intensively into this information is that when you combine these statistics of what will happen if we continue to do heavy schedules of vaccines and we start mandating vaccines across the country as we now have in California, if you combine those statistics, so one of the statistics from an MIT researcher in the film is that if we they predict if we stay on these heavy schedules of vaccines, one out of every two children by 2032 will be autistic. If you, and most of them will be boys, if you integrate these numbers with the GMO impact on fertility and then the push to have women put in leadership positions, if you read my series Promoting Women's, you'll read all about it. Plus the nanoparticles and heavy metals in food, nanoparticles in food and heavy metals in chemtrails. If you combine that all up in one integrated picture, what you're talking about is the fundamental reengineering of human DNA and depopulation. Imagine if that many of your boys, if a majority of your boys are autistic, how is your species going to continue? So we're talking about a real epidemic here, which is going to have a very widespread impact on society, the expense to the school system, the healthcare system, to people's personal happiness, whether it's the child becomes autistic or the sibling that spends the rest of their life caring for their brother and sister, is just unfathomable. And so I really encourage you to listen to this interview by Laura, and to listen to Vaxxed when it's available for streaming or purchase, and certainly see trace amounts. If you don't have time to do that, check out my review of it. But this is a very serious epidemic, which will touch your workplace, it will touch your home, it will touch your family, it will touch your life. Anything that has this kind of devastating economics, if you only want to just think of the economic impact, it's devastating. I didn't mention in my suggestions of integrating these numbers in with the other things, I didn't mention robotics, but I might as well have mentioned robotics, because we're literally watching the creation, the birthing, and the breeding of huge amounts of robots, and the depopulation of humans all happening at the same time, and I think there clearly is a connection. So I would encourage you to dive into this material. It's more gruesome than I like to necessarily promote, but I'm a great believer, as you know, if we can face it, God can fix it. And I think this is one we need to face early, we need to face square in the face, and then we need to take action first and foremost to protect the loved ones and ourselves. And you need to do it, because the ramifications of not protecting yourself in this instance could be extraordinary. And again, if you want more than those two documentaries, you do a search for vaccines on the website, and you'll pull up our collection of the best books and documentaries we could find. That's it for tonight. In closing, next week, Soft Revolutions with Wayne Madsen. You know, we've gone from just invading and killing everybody to doing it softly. So it's the tactics are subtle, and I thought I'd have Wayne describe. He has a new book on Soros, whose philanthropy has been a big part of these soft revolutions. And then on June 30, the following week, a great example of a software revolution that's got a real fist inside of the velvet glove, Haiti and disaster capitalism with Dr. Dadi Sherry. And then July 7th, wonderful time. This was one of your favorites in the last quarter. Our second quarter wrap-up news, trends, and stories. We're going to dig in and go through all the top trends and stories in the second quarter with Joseph Farrell. That's going to be a long one. It's going to be really juicy. We're just going to chew it up. And if you don't have time to listen to any news, just listen to those once a quarter, and you'll know more about what's going on than most of the people you know. So until June 23rd with Wayne Madsen, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.